Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful to be in the house of God. This morning, when we drove in the parking lot, it was interesting. You know, when Jesus was baptized, it says that the Holy Spirit came like a dove and lighted upon him. And we often think of the connection between the Holy Spirit and dove. And when we drove in the parking lot, there was about 20 doves sitting on the ridge of the church roof this morning. And just reminded me, a beautiful symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I trust the Holy Spirit is here in that way this morning, as the dove of the Holy Spirit among us today. This morning, maybe we'll just pause again for a word of prayer yet before we go on. Father in heaven, we pause before you, Lord. We thank you for your presence with us today, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that it might minister to every one of our hearts today, Lord, through the Word of God, and that we might have a experience with you today as we worship you and as we wait before you in walking and living with you today, Father. Thank you for everyone that's here today. Bless our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I have a subject that I guess I got the thought from a book I think that Watchman Nee wrote. I haven't read it for a long time, but I know the subject was sit, stand, and walk. I think he was the one that wrote that book. And that's somewhat the subject I have this morning, but I added one. These are biblical expressions that Paul especially uses many times in reference to our relationship with God and our walk with God. And I added the one running yet. It also talks about running. So we want to talk about that this morning and the various references in relation to that. You know, when a little child is maturing, we know that they have different stages of development. There's a time when they start to sit up. That's one of the first developments of a child, when they're able to sit up. That's an accomplishment. And then a little later, they get to the point where they can stand. They can stand up and hold on to a chair or the couch. And they can learn to move around a little that way. And then the time comes whenever they're about a year old or so when they start to walk. And eventually, they're not walking sometimes too long until they start running. And I believe that is a little how it is with our Christian life as we develop and in our walk with God, that we have different stages that we go through, and there's different experiences in our relationship with God. And I believe we can experience all those things in our normal walk with God. So we want to look at some of the scriptures this morning in relation to the subject of sit, stand, walk with God. And the first one, of course, in the subject of sitting, there's basically one that stands out to me in Ephesians chapter 2. And I think this has a lot to do with the subject that we already discussed this morning in the Sunday school lesson about the kingdom of God. It's also a verse, I think we'll read a few verses here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And it says, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's that kingdom of God that we talked about, that we enter into that kingdom of God, that heavenly place in Christ Jesus, where Christ is sitting on the throne of our heart, and He is reigning in our life. We are sitting in places where there is power. We sit in places where there is forgiveness of our sins. There is newness of life. There is a quickening of our life. That we have the presence of God dwelling with us. And we sit together with others in heavenly places who have like precious faith. I believe this is the position that we have in Jesus Christ, where we are redeemed, we are bought, we are adopted into the family of God. This, I believe, is that position that we sit in as children of God who are redeemed. We are forgiven. We have been lost and undone without Christ. We were living in the world. We are in the depths of sin. But God, Jesus Christ, comes down and lifts us out of that miry clay, and He washes us, He cleanses us, He forgives us of our sin, and He sets us in a position of the redeemed. One of those that has been washed, has been forgiven, has been loved, and is a part of the kingdom of God, like we heard about this morning. This is the position that we have as the children of God. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, with Christ dwelling in our hearts, and His presence flooding our lives, and we are filled with His goodness and His grace. This is the position of the born-again believer, the one who is delivered, the one who is washed, the one who is saved. This is our position today as children of God, sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. God has raised us up and put us there by faith as we enter in to His kingdom through the new birth and through the experience of the regeneration. This is the main verse that I could find in the Bible concerning the subject of sitting, but it has to do with the position that we are in Christ Jesus. That which we are called to as a child of God, adopted into the family of God, and washed and saved and redeemed unto God. Then we go to the subject of standing, and the Bible talks a lot about standing for the gospel, standing for what is truth. We're going to look at a lot of different verses here this morning. I usually don't preach this way, going from many verses, but this time I felt that this was something that I wanted to do. In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1, says, "Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." We stand by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has been preached unto us through the Word of God. It gives us that we have the strength to stand and be a child of God. We stand up for God and experience His blessing and His strength within us. In chapter 16, in verse 13 of the same book, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." We see this, the subject of standing, it refers to the strength that God ministers to us. Then it challenges us to watch and to stand fast in the faith. It has a challenge to remain where we are, to stand fast in the things that we have received, to not be moved, but to stand fast as a tree that stands by the waters. It's not going to be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall be as a great tree standing by the waters, which shall have its roots down deep, and it shall will not be moved. This is the thought of the Word of God dwelling in our hearts and holding fast to the faith. It says, quit ye like men and be strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. It says, moreover, I call God for record upon my soul that I spare you. I come not as yet of Corinth, not for that ye have dominion over your faith, but that we are helpers of your joy. It says, for by faith ye stand. It's not something that we can do of our own strength. It's not something that we do of our own doing. But it's by faith in Jesus Christ. There is where the strength is. There is where we stand by faith in Jesus Christ. We stand by faith in the Word of God, in the truth of God's Word. We stand in the reality of His presence and of His power. It's by His grace and by His strength, by faith in His finished work that we stand today. In Galatians chapter 5, another verse that's powerful. In verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. It says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If there's something that's going to bring us down, it's that yoke of bondage, that sin, the law, the bondage of sin, the bondage of the world, the bondage of the law. Those things are going to bring us down that we're not going to be able to stand. But if we stand fast by faith in Jesus Christ, in the liberty that Christ has made us free, we must be not entangled again with those things which we once were. We must not go back to those things that we came out of, but we must stand free in Christ with the liberty of the Spirit of Christ in our life. Be not entangled again with those things which we came out from. With that yoke of bondage, that bondage to the world, that bondage to sin, that bondage to Satan, but we can have freedom in Christ. We can experience the liberty to walk with God. That liberty is not a liberty to live in the flesh, but it's a liberty to live in freedom with Christ, to live in free from sin, and to live a life that is glorifying to God. That is the liberty of the Christian today. It's a liberty to serve God, to walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That our life can bring glory to God, and that we can experience the freedom of Jesus Christ upon us continually. Ephesians chapter 6 is another beautiful chapter where it talks about standing, where it talks about the Christian armor. Here is what the Christian armor is for. It helps us to stand. It helps us to stand free in Christ. In verse 10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, we have an enemy that is out trying to destroy us, and he shoots darts at us, and temptations and trials and things that he tries to destroy. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to knock us down. But it says, put on the armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we're facing as Christians today. If we ever did before, we are living in these days when there's much spiritual warfare taking place. We are wrestling against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness. This is what is trying to destroy the church today. It's not because of people and personalities so much as because of the spiritual warfare that God, that the devil is trying to make inroads and try to divide people and to destroy relationships and to tear down the church of God. But we put on the armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And he describes more of that armor. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, so that we can stand in the evil day. We may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's take on that armor, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and the power of God and the presence of God, that we can stand with the protection of God upon our life. God wants to put His protection upon us and to put a wall around us and protect us from the devil. But we must put ourselves into that place with His presence around us. We can have the armor upon us, and we can have the breastplate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is not going to protect us, but it's only the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to our life that is going to protect us, and it's going to keep us, and it's going to help us to stand in the evil day that we are living. You know, we are living in an evil day. There is much devastation. There's much evil taking place, and there's much happening in the churches today that's destroying the churches. But we must take upon us the armor of God. We must take upon us the armor of God so that we will be able to stand, that we will be strong, that we will be, that we can have the Word of God in our hearts continually, which is the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thank God that He has equipped us with the things that we need in order to stand. He has given us everything that we stand in need of to protect us from the devil and from his darts and from his temptations and from his evil influences. The power of God is available to us today. Let's take it upon us. Let's take it upon us and be equipped that we might be able to stand, and having done all, to stand. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. A few other verses. They're beautiful. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or be absent, I may hear your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's Paul's burden for the church of Philippi, that they be standing together in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my dear brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my crown of joy, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. This was Paul's cry for the church to be able to stand strong and to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand against the evil influences that they were facing. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This was the prayer of the saints for the church, and I believe it's the prayer for us today, that we would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I believe this is possible. I believe this was the heart of God for us today. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Another one in 1 Peter. This is the words of Peter. Those were the words of Paul, pretty much. 1 Peter 5:12 is another good one. It says, Sophanas, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I've written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. It is through the grace of God that we stand today, brothers and sisters. And it's not anything that we can do of ourselves. It's by faith in Jesus Christ that His grace working in our hearts through faith that we can stand in the evil day that we're living. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now we're going to start to walk. We're starting to walk in chapter 8. It's therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here we see the challenge to walk, not after the flesh. Where are we walking after? What are we after today? What is our heart walking after? Are we walking after things that bring pleasure to the flesh? Or are we walking after the things that are according to the Spirit of God? Or do have we know what it is to walk in the Spirit and to walk after the Spirit? Do we know what it is to sense the Spirit leading in our life? God, believe the Spirit of God dwelling within us wants to guide us. It wants to give us direction. It wants us to show us every step of the way. And believe if our heart is set on this, on allowing the Spirit of God to have full control of our life, that we will experience God leading us day by day, step by step along the way, that He will show us the steps that He wants us to take. He will show us where He wants us to go. He will show us what He wants us to say. He will bring us into contact with those that He wants us to minister to. If we are sensitive to the Spirit of God in our life, and if we have Him guiding us and leading us, the Spirit of God wants to be our guide and our focus, and so that as we walk in this Christian life, that we know where we're going and what we're doing. If we are living in life and we're just doing the things that please the flesh, if our whole outlook and our goal in life is to please the flesh and to go after those things that bring thrills and pleasures to our flesh, I fear that we're not experiencing the presence of God the way we should, because the Spirit of God does not lead us to walk after the flesh. The flesh and the Spirit are against each other. It says so here, like the Spirit, I should keep reading here some. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject unto the law of God and cannot be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if in any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if Christ be in you, and the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of Christ, and if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is the motivation of our walk of our Christian walk. If we are walking with God, it is as the Spirit of God lives within us and walks in us and works in us that we can experience fulfillment in our Christian life. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Verse 13. Verse 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. I believe that's today, if there ever was. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I believe that's saying the same thing I was just saying about the flesh and the spirit. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, in drunkenness, in chambering and wantonness, and strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. One place I think it says about it, that God wants to walk in us. God wants to live in us, walk in us, live in us, and do His work here in this time in us, experiencing the reality of Christ's work coming forth out of our life, touching people's lives, changing people's lives, and making a difference, just like Jesus did when He was here. Jesus went back to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us to continue the work that He is doing while He is here, reaching out and touching lives and changing people the way He did when He was here. This is the work that we are called to as the people of God, to walk in light, to walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness. That's what the world does. Out there walking after in the darkness, in rioting and chambering and drunkenness. This is the way the world lives. This is the way we lived before we received God in our life. But today we walk in the light and we walk honestly and we walk in Jesus Christ, allowing the Spirit to radiate through us and touch the lives of others. Romans 6, I believe that's the one I was thinking about. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. We are servants. Every one of us, we are servants. We are here as servants of another source. We are here as servants to one influence or the other. As it says here. And it depends which one we yield ourselves to as to who we are going to serve. Know ye not, to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's the two choices we all have today. We have the choice of yielding ourselves to sin unto death, or we have the choice of yielding ourselves to obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye are the servants, ye were the servants of sin. You no longer are, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. Romans 6:16. I don't think that's the verse that I had in mind. That's the truth that I wanted to share, but the verse, maybe I missed it here. Where it says, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God and they shall be my people. I must have the wrong reference on that. But that's the thought that I wanted to bring out, how that God wants to dwell within us and walk in us and bring glory to Himself. It's not the things that we do, but it's God doing His work through us to bring glory to Himself. Also, we want to look at Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Here again it talks about walking. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's a powerful verse. If we learn what it is to walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's the fact, that's the truth that we cannot change. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit, we will not walk in the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. So either you are going to serve the flesh, or you're going to walk in the Spirit. This is the challenge to us this morning. And my challenge, to walk in Christ. To walk in His love. It says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It said, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit eternal life, the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Do we know what it is to walk with God? Walking with God. It just has to do with everything that we do. Every day of the week. Every place we go. Every ambition we have. That we have God within us. Walking in us. And motivating us. And the things that we do. Because of Him. And not because of the flesh. Some other scriptures, quotes, I don't have all the verses here, but Paul talks much about walking. He says, walk in newness of life. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's a challenge to us. We are called to a high standard, to a high vocation. We are called to a work. We are not just called to sit around as holy people, but we're called to serve God. We are called to a vocation of serving God. Walk in love as Christ has loved us. Walk as children of light. Walk circumspectly. I believe that has to do with carefully and properly the way that we walk. Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Christ Jesus? You received Him by faith. So we walk by faith. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. That's a challenge to us many times. That we have situations in this world that we live where it's hard to know how to walk. But we need the wisdom of God to direct us. That we can walk in wisdom toward those without. Those that are not God's people. It says that you would walk worthy of God. You ought to walk and to please God. Walk honestly toward them that are without. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And walk in truth. Walking in the light is a tremendous challenge to me. You know, there's many things, many times we don't know what's going to be out there, but they do know what's here and now. And we just must do what's right for here and now. Walk in the light that God gives us for now. And when we get to the next step, He'll give us the light for that step. Well, that's walking with God. He doesn't give us light for 2 years down the road. He only gives us that which we need for now and for today. And this is the challenge of the Christian life. That we walk one step at a time. We walk where He tells us to go. We walk in the light that He gives us. And He'll give us light for the next step when we get there. Young Christians especially wonder sometimes about the future. You're not sure. You want to know about the future. You want to know what the future holds. But God has called you to live for today. Live for today. And God will take care of tomorrow when tomorrow comes. That's what I see in walking in the light. We walk where the light is. When the light is there, we don't live 2 years down the road. We live for today. Then there's a couple of verses I want to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He says, "Know ye not the day which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. For everyone that striveth for the master is tempered in all things. Now ye do that to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway." This is Paul's testimony about his walk with God. He says, "I therefore run, not as uncertainty, but one that he keeps his body under." He talks about discipline, disciplining himself and keeping his life under the control and the influence of God, and disciplining himself as he walks his Christian life, as he runs in this Christian life, that his life is in order, that his life is not careless, but that he disciplines himself so that whenever he gets to the end of the race, that he will not be cast away, but he will have lived the life that he preaches and teaches. Galatians chapter 5 again. Verse 7 talks about running. It said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you'd not obey the truth?" But God wants us to run circumspectly and carefully. These people were hindered from running because they got sidetracked from teachers that were not teaching the truth. And also in Hebrews chapter 12, we have the message of the race. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted against flesh and against blood, striving against sin, for ye have forgotten the exhortation of which speaketh unto you as unto children, 'My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.'" Here we see the challenge to run with patience and endurance. And the place we need to keep our eye is on Jesus, the one who ran before us, the one who endured the suffering on the cross, the one who endured the torture and the rejection and the false accusations and all the horrible things that they did to Jesus. And we are called to run in that race that he ran. Excuse me. Let's lay aside those things that weigh us down. What are those things that hinder us from running? Do we have things in our life that are a hindrance to us from running in that race. Let's be willing to face it in reality. What are the hindrances to your Christian walk? What are those things that are dragging you down? Challenges to lay those things aside so that we can run free. That we can be free from sin and bondage. We can be free from the hindrances of the world, the hindrances of our flesh. That we can be free from anything that hinders us from serving God. What is it in your life that may be hindering you from serving God today? Is there some pet sin in your life that you're not willing to give up? Is there some unnecessary garbage in your life? It's neither right nor wrong, but it's a hindrance. It takes away the time that you need to serve God. What are the things in your life that are hindering you from running the race? Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. That's a goal that we need to keep before us every day. The goal that is set before us, the joy of eternal life. The joy of entering into the presence of God. That's the reason for our motivation of our life. That's the reason to keep on going. That's the reason to purify our hearts and to lay out those things. Because of the joy of entering into heaven to be with Jesus throughout all eternity. Because of this, we can lay aside all those things that hinder and we run. Consider Him that endured such contradiction. Lest you become weary and faint in your minds. Are you weary and faint this morning? Are you discouraged? We must consider Him that endured all these things. We have experienced nothing compared to what He did. We have not suffered. We have not suffered unto blood. Yet we have the pressures of the world. Those things that press in on us and cause us to become weary. Can cause us to become discouraged. Look to Him. Look at Jesus. Consider Him and what He has run for us. And let's put our weight to the wheel. And let's strive for the kingdom of God, laying aside all those things that hinder. Allow God and His grace and His power to carry us through, that we might keep our faith in Jesus Christ, that our life might be hid in Him, that He can walk in us, that He can run in us, that He can fill us with His presence continually, that we can enter in that last day, to the glory of glories, to heaven itself, to be with Jesus who is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. This is the goal that we need to keep before us continually. That's my challenge to us all this morning. To sit in the heavenly places, in a position, the position of the redeemed, to stand for truth, to walk in righteousness, and to run the race to heaven. Let's not give up. Let's not turn back. But let's keep our heart set on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For all that He endured for us, that we might endure whatever it takes to become what He wants us to be, and to go where He wants us to go, to do what He wants us to do, to enter into that holy heaven by and by. Thank you for your time.